Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
We brought you damn good beer, and now we're delivering to you damn good beef. Hassel Cattle Company is the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas. They ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They call their beef the blue-collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors, original and sweet and spicy, and their hamburger even won the Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Not only do we love their beef, the country loves their beef. Everybody wants to get in on this. These guys take their registered bulls and breed them with Angus cows, giving you that very high prime product that is grown with zero antibiotics or hormones. So head to HasselCattleCompany.com, that's H-A-S-S-E-L-L CattleCompany.com, and use promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, plus any orders over $200 get you free shipping. Again, use code DNVR10. Check them out today, and we promise you will not be disappointed. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hayfley. Here coming at you on Friday. Yesterday, the Avs officially announced their rookie tournament roster. So we're going to be diving into that. Some pretty interesting stuff as AJ and I were looking through it. A couple of interesting storylines, to say the least, as well as honestly, especially for this group of forwards that they're sending, a lot of hype around those prospects. It's going to be a fun one, AJ.
Yeah, I think this is a different looking group than we've seen in years past, where I think the big shiny example of this process working to their favor is Logan O'Connor.
Yep.
And when you look around at this group and you say, okay, is there a Logan O'Connor in the group here of these names that we don't know?
Sure.
You know, that we're less familiar with than the drafted kids. But not just that, but also because there was no camp last year.
Yep.
We get to see, you know, it's been 2 years since we've seen Sasha Mutala and Alex Bocage and Nick Henry and all these guys in person.
Yep.
But for the first time in this kind of setting, we get to see Alex Newhook and Jean-Luc Foudy and Sampo Ranta. Two of those guys because they were college kids who weren't allowed to come to these things. And then Foudy because with no camp last year after he got drafted, this is the first time we're getting to see him on the ice. I mean,
you could watch him up in NoCo, but yeah.
You know what I mean, though. This is the first time in this kind of setting that we're getting to see him. And then we get to see the new guy, Oscar Olausson, the new first rounder.
Yep.
So at forward, there's a lot to be excited about with this group here.
Yeah.
One of the things I think there are two things that really stood out for me when I at first glance on the forwards. First one was Shane Bowers is on this list and Martin Kaut is not.
Yep.
Now, we've seen in previous years, you know, the very first one of these, Nikita Zadorov requested to do this.
Yep.
He asked the Avs if he could go and do it because he wanted to use it to get in shape and to get him some extra game action. And oddly enough, he looked like shit in those games. It was obvious, like he was using it as a tune-up, right?
Yeah.
But it was super not an encouraging performance from him, and it was good. Like hindsight, you know, we talk about it now. It's funny. At the time we were like,
this is concerning.
Yeah. So before I make too big of a deal of Shane Bowers going, I will say that it is possible he requested to go. But Martin Kaut, if outside of that, Kaut not being on it and Bowers being on it feels like a bad sign for Bowers.
Yep. Well, I think it feels like a good sign for Kaut, too.
Both sides of it. Agreed. Because it's like they're viewing Kaut as beyond that.
Yep.
And assuming Bowers did not request to go, because we don't know that.
Right.
If he did request to go, then this entire point is moot. He requested to go. They said yes. It only gets him in front of the coaches a little bit more.
But if this was just the lineup they made, Bowers is on it and Kaut isn't.
Yeah.
Bowers isn't getting any closer to that NHL roster, is he?
It's still looking like an uphill battle for him. The other thing that jumped out at me, though, is that a guy that we've talked about all offseason as a possible forward for the NHL team, the Swedish import in Andreas Wingerli, listed as a left wing, and this was a guy who was listed all over the place as a guy who could play all three forward spots.
Yep.
And it was especially curious to me if they were going to give him a look at center because the organization's center depth has gotten so light in the last couple of years. I was curious. Now, he could still play center just because he's listed as left wing, but I thought it was interesting.
I mean, that's another question in itself. First of all, excited to see Wingerli in North America. Should be interesting. He is going to be a little bit older than a lot of people at this tournament, but still is going to get his first taste of North American hockey. But also, when you look at the centers, you have Bowers, you have Foudy, you have... Is Newhook going to play center at this tournament? There are some significant questions about who on this roster is going to end up playing center compared to wing.
Yeah, and I think the smart alignment would be Bowers, Newhook, and Foudy down the middle.
Yep.
Now, the obvious temptation is to move one of those guys to wing and play them together.
Sure.
You know, especially Bowers and Newhook, where you're like, okay, let's see.
Just let these dudes go off, yeah.
Yeah, but I think both of them, their value goes up so much if they're both at center that just giving them a look there. You know, the only other listed centers here are guys we've not heard of, and Ryan Hofer, Jack O'Brien, and Callahan Burke.
Which we'll get to them in a little bit.
Yeah. And Callahan Burke is actually on an AHL deal, so that's a dude that could easily be an Eagle regular this year. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other guys are just on ATOs.
But, I mean, I think that's... So you're looking at down the middle, but where the forward core really starts to get intriguing is how do you mix and match? Even if you put Bowers and Newhook on the same line, let's say Newhook's on Bowers' wing, you still have to fill that right side. You could put Olausson over there. You could put Bocage on that line. Might have to switch Newhook to the right, but either way, you could put Ranta on that line. You're talking about a bunch of fun options.
If we did it just based on how they're listed here,
yep.
You know, the right wings,
yeah,
that are of interest here are Olausen, Bocage, and Henry.
Yep,
and then Mutala as well.
Yeah, which I'm psyched to see Mutala there, but it doesn't really change the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what his game looks like and how he's progressed. And it's been 2 years since I've seen him in person, so I want to see how much he's grown physically. I want to see how much weight he's put on and all that. Because belief in the player and his abilities is still there.
Yep.
But on the left side, it's really not as intriguing. It's like Sampo. And that's where moving Bowers or Newhook to the left would be of
why it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, because you have just roster baiting a rookie face off top six.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say Bowers, Newhook, and Olausen.
Then your second line ends up being
all first rounders.
Yeah. That's a dirty first line. Your second line could be like Foodie Henry Ranta or something like, or
I was gonna say Ranta on the left, Foodie in the middle, and then Bocage on the right.
Yeah, sure.
And that's again a nasty group there.
Yep.
Also, all third rounders.
There you go.
You have the first round line, the third round line,
we're learning how AJ builds a lineup right here, right now, just by draft pick.
Yeah, so then on the next line you have, there are no centers left.
Yeah.
You drafted center, and then you have Henry on the right.
Henry and a bunch of question marks after that, basically.
Yeah, and then you just move Mutala to the left.
Yep. And then
you
get what you get from there,
yeah.
Basically. But
yeah, no, I mean that's what I think the top six should really look like. If they try and go Bowers, Newhook, and Foodie down the middle, then obviously one of those left wing spots I'm giving to Wingerle in the top six.
Yep,
because you want to see what he has. You want to see what he's got going on.
He'll get top six minutes, and again. We were talking about this off air before the show. Most of these rookie tournaments, you'll see most of the kids will play two games out of the three. So there'll be some rotation in there, but it'll be a little bit of everything for sure. With that being said, because we were robbed of last year's rookie tournament, I think this is the most intriguing group of forwards the Evs have brought to one of these so far.
Yeah, the last time they went to a rookie tournament, the top line was Henry, Bowers, and Kaut, and we were super excited for that.
Yep.
And then on the back end, they had Byram and Timmons, and that was the first time Timmons had played since the concussions.
Yep.
And so that was kind of the story, right? But there was no Newhook.
Yep.
There were no college kids. And instead, we get sort of this intersection of graduated college kids with Newhook.
The CHL and Europeans also arriving at the same time.
Yeah. Newhook and Rant are showing up, and then you also get
Olausen and
And then we haven't even talked about the defense though.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Mostly because the defense is totally a bunch of who exactly are these guys? And then you have two first rounders in Byram and Barron, who's probably going to be a pairing.
Yep.
And then you have the always intriguing and just never not existing Nate Klerman.
Just hangs around, dude.
Yeah. And then in net, a really like in net, you have 2/3 of what should be a really intriguing goaltender battle this year on AHL deals with Trent Miner and Eustace Annan.
Yeah.
You know, Jannanen has the hype, but Miner got himself an ELC and played very, very well last year. I would be tempted to put Miner ahead of Jannanen just on the pecking order based on recent play.
Certainly based on Miner's AHL games, at least. He has shown he can handle the pro game, whereas Annan's, he only played in what, 3 AHL games, but the numbers weren't anything special.
Yeah, they weren't bad. It was just a couple of games for both guys, but Minor had such a good year in the WHL, granted a compromised version of it, whereas Annan just did not have a great year in Finland, a great follow-up season in Finland. It was just not a very good season.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see them start to separate. I mean, these are two dudes who are going to be in direct competition for playing time and a job.
Realistically, there's a good chance they're fighting for the starting job in the ECHL at the start of the year.
To start the year, I think that makes the most sense.
But the one who gets the inside track is the one that's going to end up getting the promotion to the AHL when the time comes.
Exactly. And you it's not just an injury to either Jonas Johansson or Hunter Miska or poor play. It's something happens to one of the NHL guys.
And everyone gets promoted. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a Darcy Kemper with an recent injury history. You have Pavel Francouz with the recent injury history.
Yep.
So this is not an unimportant first step in the goaltending hierarchy battle that will be going on all season long.
For sure.
You want to see these guys and you want to see them both pitch shutouts. And no offense to Peyton Jones, but the only people going to see Peyton Jones are related to him.
Some of his old college buddies.
Hoping to be related to him. If he's got a girlfriend that wants to go and see him or something.
The Puck Bunnies are out in force in Arizona?
Just because you date a hockey player doesn't mean you're a Puck Bunny pro. Come on.
Fair enough.
Just means you found a cute boy who you like and you want to do boy-girl things with.
I mean, you gotta have a little bit of Puck Bunny if you're dating a goalie, though.
I was gonna say it takes a special kind to date a goalie, though. Absolutely agree.
Okay, before we go down a path we probably shouldn't, we are brought to you all by the Ball Corporation. You can get yourself a little bit of extra money, a good job to work at. They pay a living wage. They do have benefits. And also, I think the most important and coolest thing about their job opportunity is if you have holes in your resume, they will help you pay for classes or lessons to get your whole resume filled out, fleshed out, get you the knowledge that you need to move forward in your career. So be sure to check out the Ball Corporation. You can text GOLDEN to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com to get your application today. They're currently hiring in the Golden plant, as you may have guessed, and they do a bunch of awesome stuff beyond just making aluminum cans too. They do things like work in the aerospace industry. They monitor resources here on Earth. Bunch of awesome stuff. So if you haven't checked out Ball yet, now is the time to do it. Go see them. And once you get the job, once you have a little bit of spending cash, fire yourself up a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Put a little bit of money in. You put $5 in, and then you bet one of those dollars on a week one NFL game, DraftKings will give you $200 in free bets. $200 immediately. You don't even have to wait for the bet to pay out. Even if you get the bet wrong, you get the $200. Then you can bet on whatever you want. I know I don't care about betting on football at all, personally. So I'll put the $1 down, take that $200, go bet on hockey, go bet on Ultimate Frisbee, which we found out yesterday is something you can do on DraftKings, by the way.
I did not know what Ultimate, I've heard of Ultimate Frisbee, but I'd never seen it played until a recent episode of Below Deck Mediterranean that Z and I watched.
Really?
Where the crew played against these dudes who wanted to play against them.
Sure.
And it was no shock that the dudes who do this for fun beat the crew members never played before.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny, but it was like, oh, this actually looks sort of fun. Although I don't like sand. No, because I've never been able to get my footing on it.
Grass. You play on grass.
So they were playing on a beach.
No.
And I was like, this looks so ripe for knee injuries.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm staying 1,000 miles away from this, but admit, this looks fun.
I used to play on grass a little bit. I wasn't any good, but I've played before. It's a fun sport. It looks
like a good time, man.
There's
genuinely
super crazy tangent. So AJ, you know as well as I do, all of the adventurous internet websites you end up on trying to find footage of, like, deep European prospects.
You want to know why they have virus scans?
Yeah.
Virus websites,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. I found one. So a couple of years ago, the site that used to host the Finnish junior hockey games also hosted the Ultimate Frisbee World Championships. So while I was watching people like Emil Viro, that was the one. On one screen, I also had the Ultimate Frisbee World Championships up on the other screen. So,
Neil Vero, my gosh.
I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked him. Yeah, I like him as a second rounder still. But anyway, enough with the tangent. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook. Get your money. Use code DNVR when you sign up. Get the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Before we round out the forwards, AJ, I did want to ask, who is this showcase the most important for on the Avs group of forwards?
Well, I would say in terms of having an NHL future, Bowers.
Okay.
I would say in terms of having maybe a future in pro hockey altogether, any of these ATO guys?
Sure.
You know, because this is your chance. An NHL organization has invited you to show up and see what you can do. They're going to have a 3-day on-ice dev camp in Denver before this to get a look at some of these guys and some truly intriguing talent here among the guys that, you know, that aren't drafted and aren't big names and aren't guys that you're really thinking. So, I mean, these guys get invited to stuff. You don't ever really think that you have the next Mark Stone on your hands or whatever, the next Tyler Johnson, is a better example.
Logan O'Connor's out of it. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, but I mean, this is how it went for a guy like a Tyler Johnson back in the day.
Fair enough.
You know, you get invited, you put up some numbers, you put up some okay numbers in the WHL.
But if you get Tyler Johnson, that's, you know, you're all gravy at that point.
Yeah. But that's how it starts. Like, this is step one, is what I'm saying. That a guy that was not drafted has to get invited to something like this in order to get a foot in the door. So it's really important. All the guys that you've never heard of that have asterisks next to their name on the roster because they're on ETOs.
They got
to
start somewhere.
This is huge for them. This is potentially pro career or you're going to Canadian uni.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That is an interesting conversation, though, because there is something a little bit different about this group. A lot of these ATOs this year for the Avs are quite a bit younger than we've seen in the past.
A lot of them we've seen, they've gone with guys who are either getting ready for an overage season in the CHL, or they were already beyond that point and had finished their junior careers and were getting ready for ECHL or, you know, again, to go to uni, or they were getting ready for European careers or whatever. They had finished in juniors is what I'm saying. They were older. They were 22. They were 23 years old. And as you and I were going through this list, we kept being like, wow, this guy's 19. This guy's 18. There's a 17-year-old in here.
Yeah.
That does not turn 18 until the first day
of their camp.
Of the camp. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you look at a guy, you look at, like, Jack O'Brien. He turned 18 in May and went through – he's from Denver, by the way. And that's the intriguing thing here is that he had one full year in the WHL, put up some decent numbers with Portland, played this last year in the USHL, and then a little bit for Portland in the WHL bubble. But wasn't good enough in that time to get himself drafted. But again, just turned 18. And so he'll be a guy that is getting ready to go into his second time through the draft this next process. This is not like a physically mature over a group of overage guys who you're like, okay, they're done. A lot of these guys are still going through draft processes. Right.
It's the type of guy where he puts a solid WHL season together in this coming year. All of a sudden you take a sixth round flyer on him or something because you have a little bit of that inside information on who he is as a player.
Absolutely. You look at him, if he has, look, say he goes, just using Jack O'Brien as the example here, he's 6 foot, 154 pounds. So he's got a bad frame here. He needs a lot of weight to put on him. He's probably going to need 20 or 30 pounds if he's going to make it in pro hockey of any level.
Just realistic, yeah.
You're even in the ECHL, you're not succeeding as a 154-pound guy.
Dudes are just going to run you over, yep.
Yeah, especially that league still, which is still a breeding ground for the enforcer types.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a dude, he's got to put on a lot of weight, but if he has a good showcase here at this rookie faceoff, he puts himself on a draft list for the Avs, and they'll follow him all year, kind of keep his name in their back pocket. They only have late-round draft picks available to them next year's draft.
Yep.
So come sixth or seventh round, instead of doing a solid and taking another brother just because you can, this is where a guy like Jack O'Brien puts himself on the NHL's radar.
Yep.
Now, this is where it can start for him, where it actually has to have. He has to go and have a good year in the WHL.
Of course.
But this is step one to a good season that gets him drafted.
Yep.
And then go. You know, you go from there. Maybe that turns in. It. You know, because he'd be a second time entry into the draft, it would be the Avs would probably have to give him an AHL contract because they don't know how to handle that situation. But, you know, the point is that these are guys with at least some sort of potential that you're still trying to see what they have.
Well, and this is beyond the Avalanche. This is a rookie showcase where these teams go and they get five teams to see what they can do at the tournament. So even if it's not the Avalanche that bite on that hook, there's a handful of other teams from California, Arizona that can, and Vegas, I suppose, that can see something they like out of him maybe and put a pin in him to see what he does this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point that you have six organizations worth of decision makers that are there because you know who goes to these things? The entire front office.
The whole scouting squad, too, yeah.
The whole front office rolls on over there. Yep. Amateur scouts, pro scouts, the head coaches, coaching staffs, the GMs, the AGMs. The whole gang goes to this stuff. And that's an opportunity for these guys to put themselves on the radar for six different NHL teams. You know, it's still 26 other teams out there, but that's a pretty good – that's
a chunk of teams right there. Yeah,
like that's not nothing. You're trying to get in front of one team to give you a bite.
I mean, you don't have to look far. Go look a couple years ago at Kotkov, who ended up in San Jose.
Yes, he did. That was an interesting situation. That was a very interesting situation. So for anybody that may not remember, Vladislav Kotkov was an interesting draft prospect.
Yep.
Did not get drafted after his 18-year-old season, his first draft eligible year, I'll say.
Yep.
Did not get drafted, went to Colorado's dev camp.
Yep.
The Avs chose not to give him a contract, went to San Jose's dev camp the next week. San Jose gave him an ELC. And he did not have to go through the draft process again. Got an ELC, has been sitting on that ELC, has been sitting on that for the last 2 years as he played his last 2 years in the queue. And now is getting ready for his first pro season in the AHL with the Barracuda.
Likely be an AHLer full-time this year.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, right? Like we were talking about these guys going through the draft. Well, if they like one of these guys that much,
just sign him.
You could just give that guy a deal and just say, okay, well, this guy really impressed us. Who stands out? And, you know, you and I tried to go through these and pick a couple of guys who were of interest going into this.
Yep.
We each have a guy that we are going to say, hey,
keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Maybe this is a guy that they really like that could make some sense here.
Yep. It should be an interesting one. I think you picked O'Brien, right?
I did.
So yeah, we've already talked about O'Brien a little bit. I guess that's a good segue into the defensive conversation then. Obviously, look, it doesn't really matter what Byram does at this tournament, if we're being honest. It's going to be fun to see him play, but you have to pretty much think that guy has a roster spot on lock with the Evs, regardless, right?
I know, there's always like the group of people that make something out of a guy like Byram going to this. I'm not worrying about it. I think this is either he asked to go or they just want to give him.
This is 100%. This guy hasn't played a proper game in 8 months or whatever it is at this point. So
exactly. Like just put him on the ice.
Yep. So gives him that opportunity. Maybe the most interesting player, or the player that can move the needle the most for himself at this whole thing, might be Justin Barron. He has an opportunity to put himself in a position, if he plays well at this and leading into the rest of the season, of course, it's going to take more than just one rookie tournament, but he could position himself as a legitimate call-up later on in this year.
That's going to be an interesting hierarchy. Yep. We talked about goalies, but defensemen, let's just go with guys who have contracts for right now. You've got the six that we're assuming start the year, including Byram.
Yep.
You've got maybe Curtis McDermott as a defenseman, depending on defenseman for whatever. Whatever that shakes out. You have Jacob McDonald. Totally. Then you have a bunch of AHL veterans and Justin Barron and Nate Klerman as the only two prospects.
Yeah, and Jack Johnson on a PTO.
Yeah, and that's why I said, just for right now, just the signed guys.
Sure.
Don't know what's going to happen with Jack Johnson. But that was yesterday's show.
Yes, it was. Go check that out if you want our Jack Johnson takes. The of the guys signed, McDermott is a total wild card. You have no idea really where he sits on the defensive depth chart.
Yeah.
You probably today have McDonald ahead of Barron and the AHL guys, but all of the AHL guys, Barron could leapfrog this year pretty easily if he plays well.
Well, he's got a couple of important things going for him. Mm-hmm. He was a first round pick.
Yep.
Always matters.
It's going to give you an inside line. Let's be real.
Always matters.
Yep.
He's right-handed. And he fits their identity to a T.
Can skate.
So those are the things. Those are the things about Justin Barron that you love. What you need to see physically. Is he ready? Is he strong enough? Can he handle? You know, is he mature physically enough? And hell, emotionally, is he mature enough? Can he handle the rigors of the NHL yet? Is he? You know, does he have the professional approach, the day-to-day understanding that this is a career, this is a job?
Yeah.
Does he have that? You know, with just a handful of AHL games at this point, you don't know. That's still a question mark.
For sure.
So sometimes guys' first year in pro hockey, it's a real shock to them that they get there because they've been playing hockey their whole life. Oh, it's the same thing. Well, now you're not playing hockey with an age group that's yours anymore. You're playing hockey with all ages of dudes. You've got 28-year-old guys who are ready to rip your fucking heart out for a job because that's a paycheck for them next year. Can you handle that pressure? Can you handle that inner competition? Can you handle all of the things that go along with being a professional? It usually takes some guys some time.
I think it's a two-faceted thing too, right? One, it's every day. Every junior league in the league. Yes, I get it. The CHL plays a significantly more strenuous schedule than, say, the NCAA.
Sure. But
they still have significant breaks in that schedule all the time.
Well, and they just don't. I mean, you play 50 games.
Right. It's nowhere near what an 82 NHL game schedule is. And the other.
Even an AHL schedule.
You're right. I mean, AHL, you're talking about teams do 3-3s and crazy stuff. So.
Right. They do. I mean, they legitimately, their schedule's whack, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that side of it. But then I think the other side of it is not only is it every day, it's every shift. How many dudes do you see in the CHL that, oh, you know, they'll have a good game, but they'll take a shift off here. They'll take a shift off there. That's one quick way to get yourself knocked off an NHL roster is if you're taking shifts off. So it really is a level of dedication that I think it's hard to understand until you experience it, mm-hmm. especially as a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid that is going into something like this for the first time ever in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an underrated part of it that we don't talk about. Oh, these guys will be fine. They'll slide in and some guys handle it just fine. You know, you look at Mikko Rantanen in San Antonio. He'd been playing professional hockey in Finland for years.
Yep.
You know, he had been, well, for years. He'd been part of a pro system for years.
Since he was 16, yeah.
So he was comfortable in that environment. He showed up in San Antonio and knew what to do. He was good. You know, JT Compher showed up as a guy who had gone through 3 years of college.
Yep.
So he was a little bit older, but still right in that age range where it was like 50 games, it was obvious he was done.
Yep.
With the AHL, it was obvious. Okay, this is finished. You know, as a recent first round pick, and I think he's still just 19, Justin Barron still has everything to prove.
Yep.
And so this is kind of like what we were talking about with the, you know, the other guys who need this in order, you know, with the Jack O'Briens who need this to launch their
careers in pro hockey at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Their aspiration for any kind of a pro career. This could be an important first stepping stone for Justin Barron to put himself, you know, to leapfrog into, okay, he has a good dev camp. Now he has a good rookie face-off. All right, what happens after that? NHL training camp. He's going to be skating on the same ice as a Stanley Cup. A team with Stanley Cup aspirations is how I want to word that.
One of the best, on paper, one of the best teams in the NHL.
Right, like even if you're the haterest of haters, an upper echelon NHL team. Like an upper crust NHL team, even if you have them at like the ninth best team or whatever, which whatever, fine. But still, like this is not the Arizona Coyotes or Buffalo Sabres he's going to be on the ice with. This is going to be an actual quality NHL team that he gets on the ice with. And then he's got to, how does he do? If he has a poor showing at the rookie faceoff, you're off on the wrong foot. Yep. Coaches, evaluators, everybody saw that. Yep. So now you're behind. Now you're trying to play catch up here, trying to erase that out of their memory. But if you have a good showing, you're trying to build from that. You string together good showings. Okay, he has a good training camp. They can do like what they did with Timmins multiple times. He could be the last cut, stay the whole preseason, play 4 or 5 preseason games, get him in there, see how he does. And as long as he keeps showing well and forcing his hand, you just keep rewarding him. Okay, and then ultimately you send him down to the AHL. If he has a good start into the AHL, you're not needing a Jack Johnson signed contract. You could start having the conversation about, yeah, let's give this kid a look as this season progresses. You give Justin Barron a real look. It all starts with this. The rookie faceoff is where these guys start building the momentum on the seasons that they'll have. It doesn't mean that if you have a bad rookie face-off, you're going to have a bad season. It just means that you have to turn it around. This is the beginning, though. This is that first step. And for Barron, it could be a step towards proving he's ready to take on some NHL minutes this year.
Yeah, certainly. You never want to miss out on an opportunity, to say the least, to prove yourself to the organization or anything like that. But on that note, I think it is safe to say that, you know what? Sometimes these rookie tournaments can separate the men from the boys. And, well, let's face it, men Manscaped. I mean, it's just what men do. So head on over to Manscaped. Get yourself 20% off with code DNVR. Get the Perfect Package 4.0 and get yourself free shipping along the way. It's more than just the Lawnmower 4.0, though. They have you covered above the belt, below the belt, whatever you need. If you're looking for cologne, breath mints, stuff like that, they'll even take care of you because real men smell good, I guess. Is that a thing? I don't know. I prefer to smell good than bad.
Real men as opposed to fake men that smell bad? I mean, yeah. I just think put together men smell good, right?
There you go. That's the way to, yeah.
Dateable men smell good.
All right. Well, I might smell good, but I'm not dateable. So, you know.
Well, you are for your wife.
Yeah. I'm married, so I'm not dating.
I would imagine that y'all go on dates, right?
I guess that's fair, yeah. Is it really a date when you're married, though? I don't know. Anyway,
it should be, man. You got to keep that shit fresh. Got to keep the love strong.
I mean, we go out, we do stuff. We just don't call it a date, really. It's just us hanging out as husband and wife. But
is that it? Does dating end when you get married and it just turns into husband and wife?
Hey, you want to go do something? Like,
hey, wife, let's hang out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's how it goes.
You don't have to ask people on dates anymore.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They can't say no. All right. All right. Let's not go there. anyway. Yeah. Get Manscaped. Bunch of awesome products beyond just trimming your ball hair. Put it that way. And then hit up the Infinity Park in Glendale. If you're local here to Colorado, they have amazing rugby there. That's where the men's and women's national teams play. So it's literally the best rugby in the country. You can't do any better. Check them out. They also have a bunch of other awesome events at Infinity Park, whether it be movie nights on the weekends or other events that are hosted all the time. You can check out things like arcade events. I already mentioned the movie nights. They do have the Colorado XOs as well, the experimental rugby team that brings athletes in from other sports to see if they can transition into the game of rugby. So
it's a badass concept.
It really is dope. Like, and football does this too, where they'll bring rugby players into football and they turn them into like punt returners all the time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that other sports don't try and do this more often, where they like turn athletes that were like played other sports at a high level into their sport. But
depends on the skills and the sports involved. But yeah, I think it's a really cool thing because rugby is like, it's such a physical sport that it requires just first and foremost, a great athlete.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
maybe a little bit. I get what you're saying, for sure. But either way, you can check them out. Head on down to Infinity Park at Glendale. Their movie things come on the weekends again. You can hit them up at Infinity Park at Glendale. Wait, hang on. What's the website? I've lost the website. I don't know what the website is. I'm failing this ad read. Anyway, infinitypark@glendale.com. There we go. I found it. It's not that complicated. Go to the website, see what events are coming up. Kids get in for free if they're under 12, and you can get tickets for just $5 sometimes on discount nights. So check them out. Go have a good time with the family. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. Getting into the rest of this lineup, you do have Nate Klerman as well on the defensive side. A dude that continues to just hang around the organization, trying to make a name for himself.
Look, he got an ELC with a year left of college, so the team was clearly
interested in him, yeah.
Pleased with his development. And he's a guy that the couple of times that I've gotten to see him in person, I've always really liked.
There you go. So, Scout AJ says, thumbs up to Nathan Clairman on this one.
Well, it's not so he's an interest. Like you look at, you know, we tend to break defensemen into three groups, right?
Sure.
Offensive, defensive, and two way.
Yep.
And he's never really fit into any of those boxes because he's got skills where you make him you watch him making tape to tape 60-foot stretch pass.
Yep.
And you're like, oh my God. He could be an offensive defenseman. And then you'll watch him with a perfect gap, seal off a puck carrier, rub poke it away,
yeah.
rub him out of the play and start a transition the other way. And you're like, oh my God, he's a defensive defenseman. And then you'll see him in the same game and you'll go, oh my God, he's a two-way guy. And then you won't see any of any of those things for
three games. Yeah, it's a lack of consistency for sure.
And you're just like, what the hell? But he's got really good size. And he's right-handed, which we always talk about is just an advantage. To be a right-handed defenseman is an advantage because teams are desperate for them. They will put up with more warts on a right-handed defenseman than a lefty because they can go and find four left-handed defensemen for every right-handed.
Yep.
It's literally why you see NHL defenses full of left-handed, like four or five left-handed guys. Like, how many times last year was Cale Makar the only right-handed guy? Or it was Cale Makar and Connor Timmins, and that's it. Like, right-handed defensemen are just tough to find. So when you have a guy like Clairman, like that's what you're getting. You're giving him a longer leash because he's right-handed, and not just because of that, but it does give him that little extra. But because he's done well at every level, he hasn't been spectacular at any level. He's just good and solid, and the coaches have trusted him. Always at every level, and there's something to be said about a guy like that.
Certainly, it's when you are able to earn a coach's trust like that. It was a lot of the positives that we saw that first year of Drew Helleson in BC. Now Helleson, I think, has shown a little bit more consistency to his skill side of his game, both defensively and offensively than Clairman, but it's that same type of role that you're looking at for Clairman where you get him into pro hockey, you get him working on his consistency, and if it starts to show up, if you start to get that quality play every single night out of him, all of a sudden you might have something there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the type of guy to take a chance on in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, and like he's never going to put up eye-popping numbers for you. He had, what, like 20 career points at Notre Dame?
It's not a lot, yeah.
He didn't score a goal his first 2 years.
Yep.
Before the onslaught of goals where he scored four last year. And didn't have any points with the Eagles last year.
Yep.
So that's not a guy that's going to put up a lot of numbers for you. And if he does make the NHL... 10 points.
Great.
Like, and they'll be Ian Cole points.
Yeah, totally. It's
where he just makes a pass to a guy who happens to do something awesome and he gets a secondary assist and you're like, okay, cool.
There's a lot of, you understand what his ceiling is, right? Like,
yeah,
you know what he's going to be if he ever does make it to the NHL, but you have to give chances, give opportunities to those guys because that's how you build out your depth. Something we've talked about for years and years and years is how much the Avs struggle to get role players out of their prospects.
Yeah.
And Clairman is absolutely one of those guys that could become a role player if you get the right development, if he improves, if you get a little bit lucky.
Yep.
So it's the type of guy you want to give an opportunity to like this to prove himself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the defense is a bunch of outside of the organization guys for the most part. I guess you have Miles Gendron, who's on an AHL deal, but
who we saw with the Eagles a little bit last year and was a guy on an AHL deal.
Exactly. But a couple of other guys, prospects as well. My person to watch on the defensive side is Graham Sward. 2 years ago, had a decent year with the Spokane Chiefs in the WHL. This, by the way, that was as a 16-year-old, I should say. This last year, he was 17, turns 18 on September 12th. Not even 18 yet. So still has a lot of junior career ahead of him, to say the least. Solid defenseman. He's 6'2". Could put on some weight. He's only 175, but you expect that to fill out as he ages, of course. Has a little bit of the things you like to see out of an Avs player. He's good skater, strong on the defensive side, probably a defensive first guy. You're not going to get a ton of offense out of him, but still, I think a guy that could fit into the Avs system in that regard pretty well. And the he has a little bit of pedigree, I guess, as well. He was a first rounder in the WHL draft. He was drafted 17th overall in his draft year there. So for a kid with kind of that high end on the younger side, an interesting guy to watch going through. Maybe someone the Avs can target for a future draft, especially considering he was nearly as young as you can be for his first time through the draft, really.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely could be one of those future draft targets, or, you know, I wouldn't expect someone as young as him to probably secure a contract in the immediate, but another player the Avs could get an inside line on if he flashes a little bit at a tournament like this.
Definitely.
So,
and look, the Avs are light on
defensive prospects for sure.
Contracts on the back end in general.
Yep.
They're only organizationally, they're only at 45 contracts right now.
So they have room for sure.
Yeah. So they can absolutely, and it's not like there's going to be a huge influx. Their reserve list is so small.
Their influx was is done already, basically. With
I mean,
they have this last year.
They have four guys who expire next year. Weiss, Schmackov, Lieberman, and Niels Oman.
And you
are expect, any of those guys getting any ELC?
Certainly at least two of them aren't signing, probably three, and maybe all four aren't getting.
Yeah, I would say if I was a betting man right now,
I'd bet zero. Yeah,
I would bet zero, and maximum I would be two with Lieberman and Weiss.
Yep,
unless something crazy happens.
I don't see how you could ever expect Schmackov or Oman to get a deal. But
yeah, I mean, the one thing with Schmackov that you could say, he's at least playing again.
Yep, and he's a goalie, so who knows? But
yeah, exactly. Where it's like, oh, okay, you know.
But even then,
it's like, a thing, I guess.
What do you do with him? Because the goalies going to this tournament are Trent Miner and Eustace Annanen. So
yeah, what you would do with him is you would send him to the ECHL because Hunter Miska's a UFA, Jonas Johansson's a UFA, or I think an RFA.
Yeah.
So you could clean those guys out if both of these kids this year step up. If you want to go the safer route, you bring Johansson back for another year. And then Annanen and Miner continue to do their thing, and then Schmackov is in the ECHL.
I guess, but...
And that's like if Schmackov goes off in the KHL.
He'd have to go off, and then he'd still have a mountain to climb to be relevant, is my point.
Yeah, I think he's in... Oh, he's in the VHL right now.
Yep.
I bet.
But more immediately, the Miner Annanen battle may be the most interesting positional battle at this rookie tournament.
I think so. We're not giving him a whole lot of credit here, but the organization very clearly likes Peyton Jones.
Yeah, sure. He's in the conversation.
So, it's just right. We're focusing on the NHL contracts with Miner and Annanen, of course. Jones had one last year, but he very obviously doesn't have one this year for a reason.
Yeah.
It's just that they're kind of full up at the position. They've got six deals there right now. You don't need a seventh guy under contract. If one of them gets hurt, then and you get desperate, then fine. He's hanging around. But I think I agree with you. That's the most interesting position battle. The player that I'm most excited to see in person is absolutely Jean-Luc Foudy.
Yep. Saw that coming.
Like, I mean, come on. We haven't gotten to see him in person yet.
I know.
I'm so excited to see it, man.
He's going to fly around the ice, that's for sure.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited for that. I think that's gonna be a really good time.
Yeah, I'm a little salty. I can't go, but that's okay.
It was just a perfect situation for us. And then you were like, by the way, JK.
Didn't work out, but.
Yeah.
AJ, very likely.
Maybe Evan will go with me.
There you go. You and Evan can have some hangout time. I'll still be clipping the games, most likely. I might even do some breakdowns of them. I'll find the time, but can't
this
go.
This is, they will be, they're not like televised, but they will be streamed on the Avs website.
Yep. Just like the last one, if you were around for that.
So I know a couple of people have already thrown that question out there. So I just want to clarify it. If you're checking the Avs actual website, that's where
it'll stream directly through it for free.
Yep. Which is a great thing that they changed after the first one. This showcase has actually gotten a little bit better every year.
Yep. That first year was rough.
The first year, nobody knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of teams that hadn't really been involved in these things before, and now they are.
Yep. Now every game's televised, well, streamed.
Yeah, they're available for consumption and not just like happening in a. We were lucky that it happened in a mystery box in Colorado.
Yeah, could actually go to it at least. Yeah.
We got to see it in person. I had I have so many like funny like stories from. That first tournament where it was just...
I can imagine the chaos, yeah.
It was obvious that nobody knew what was going on. And it was entertaining. It was funny to just kind of see them, like, feel their way through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's steadily been improving, too. The first year they televised it, I swear, one of the cameras was just some dude with their phone, like, in the corner.
But do you remember when... you weren't working for us, but I know that you were watching it.
Yeah, when they went down and everyone had to watch your Periscope.
My Periscope from behind the glass when I was in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And, that, like, I had the worst running commentary ever because I was like... I specifically remember being like, somebody just got called for a penalty for something.
Yeah.
And then I just started laughing because I was like, great commentary, AJ.
Well, there was that one. And then I remember you're like, all right. And he passed it to that dude who I don't know who that is. And then,
I mean, you just couldn't see.
But yeah, but right. You can't see their numbers or anything from that spot. And it's like, but you did get, I believe, one of Sajan's goals on the Periscope feed.
It was perfect. Like, I just happened to have it in the perfect position for the centering feed and the one, and it was just like, yeah, got that one. I was standing next to Ken from Sinbin.
Yep.
That was a fun tournament, man. That was a fun tournament.
Oh, sometimes the sketchiness creates good times, but.
It's funny people remember that because I remember being really like, I don't want to do this. This sucks.
Yep. People remember. So it worked out in the end. Man. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going, and we're not allowed to talk about certain things that we have planned.
Yeah. Got to keep it on the DL for a minute, but it's going to be cool.
By next week, by the end of next week, we'll be able to talk about it.
Next Friday, we'll be talking about it for sure.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk about it, and you guys will get to be in on some big news happening.
Yeah, some cool stuff, for sure.
And how it relates to us and the Avs and moving forward. How does this affect the Avs? We took the Leafs meme and made it real.
We're Avalanche Leafs Media confirmed.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome. Maybe not what we want to aspire to, but either way, we'll leave you on the cliffhanger. We hope to see you again on the next show. We're off Monday because it's Labor Day, but we'll be back Tuesday. So have a great Labor Day weekend. Hope y'all enjoy it. Hope y'all enjoyed the show. We will see you all on the next one. Yeah.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. The next one. Goodbye.